Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. How are you doing? It is a very hot and sticky and bleh kind of Wednesday, June 11th, 2025. It's coming down to the wire, folks. It's coming right down to the wire. And of course, what I'm talking about is Father's Day, which is just around the corner. So for all you fathers out there, thank you for all the work that you do. Thank you for being the wonderful people that you are, and enjoy your Father's Day. We're going to actually kick this off with some announcements. We're going to talk a little bit about Father's Day. But first and foremost, thank you, the listeners, for stopping in to say hello. I appreciate you. Thank you for all the wonderful comments and stuff that I've been getting. Thank you for all the input and just the general, you know, hey man, keep it going. We appreciate what you're saying. And thank you guys for sharing it with people. It really does help grow the podcast when these episodes get shared around. You may not see it right away, and I might not know it right off the top, but the more I see people share them, the better it feels to, like, you know, go, hey man, you know, I know it seems a little crazy, but if you go and hit the thing, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And I'm just noticing that people are sharing the podcast more. Again, if you see it somewhere, rate, review, give me a comment or something. Hopefully I'll get to catch up with some of those. And check me out over on Patreon at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios, where you can follow along for free. And if you want to support the podcast, you can join for $3 a month. And all it does is just go right back into the coffers, helps me, you know, take care of little things around the podcast studio. Like, for example, upcoming purchase of a new PC, because this one is almost 10 years old. And it's trying its best to harakiri itself out of existence. Maybe a new microphone or something. It's basically upkeep, maintenance, site hosting for Audio Boom, which is great for hosting this podcast and for getting out to all the various different platforms on which it exists. But that costs money, and $3 a month actually does help go pay for that kind of stuff. So you're not going to see me driving around in, like, you know, a Porsche or, you know, a fucking, you know, Maserati or anything like that because of the podcast money. That would definitely be because of my OnlyFans. the podcast money just goes to making sure we keep things moving, keep things grooving, pays the bills that, you know, infrastructure stuff that I need to take care of for the podcast. So thank you very much for everyone who's decided to help out and donate in that regard. And you can also check me out over on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. If you're a fan of gaming or just watching somebody, you know, stumble through a bunch of different games and not play any of them really well, have I got a treat for you. You can check me out over at twitch.tv/linkib Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday most of the time, between 3 and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard, playing a variety of different games. Today is a Wednesday, so like usual, it's usually like just kind of draw something out of a hat and then play that for a while, then switch it up whenever friends and family get around. Sometimes I'll have, like, people join me in Xbox chat, like my friends and, you know, other compatriots in my various gaming clans and whatnot. And that's always a good time. It's always fun. And you just sit back, kick it, chill, talk shit with your homies, and be sometimes excellent, most of the times just okay at playing video games and mostly having some fun. So thank you for stopping over there. I really do appreciate that as well. Father's Day. Father's Day is just around the corner. By the time this hopefully reaches your ears, Father's Day will not yet have passed. It'll be this coming Sunday, on the 15th. But I just, you know, I think about Father's Day in terms of just, like, how do I say this? So it's, I get the point across, but I don't sound like I'm shitting on anybody, I guess is what I'm trying to go for here. I'm aware of the role that the father plays in at least American society, right? Like, I'm not immune to or ignorant of that. The role of a father in American society is also changing, and just as it is everywhere around the world, right? As traditional gender roles start to change and morph with society, with science, with information, with cultural acceptance, Yeah, what it means to be a father can sometimes transition and change as well. One of the things that, you know, back in the day, you know, you had the image of the Cleaver family, right? From Leave It to Beaver. You know, the father goes out to work the job and bring home the money, and then he sits at the table and reads his paper while the kids eat breakfast or whatever, and the mom is cooking and she's doing gardening and she's raising the children. So those are the traditional kind of American, at least, gender roles that we accepted and saw. But like I said, fatherhood has changed over the years, so has motherhood. The one thing I want to say, though, and this is a thing that I've noticed quite a lot lately, is everybody piling on to everybody else's shit. You see it a lot when it comes to like social movements. Like when it comes to, you know, we're going to march for this cause because we believe in it. And then everybody bandwagons into it just so they can look like we're doing the thing too. You got to let people have their own shit sometimes. Okay. Like, there are certain places where intersectionality is a great and wonderful thing, and that's a lot of things. But, you know, I hated it when I would see people who would be like, it's Mother's Day, and I do the work of a mother as well. I'm like, but you're not their mom. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that, you know, this is not an anti-trans thing, like men can't be women, this, that, and the other. No. I'm just talking about in the strictest technical definition. Did you give birth to this person? Then you're not their mother. That's it. That kind of thing, like when you co-opt somebody else's stuff, that irritates me. And it kind of irritates me when people do it for Father's Day too, because they're like, well, my mom does the work of the mother and the father. That's great. Let her have Mother's Day. But unless she impregnated herself, like, let it go. I know how dense that's going to sound to some people, but I think it also kind of takes away from people who are maybe actively engaged in, or like in the process of trying to become a father. And they're like, well, man, shit, it doesn't really count for me. Or maybe they have kids, but they're ostracized from the family, or they've been alienated from the kids. And then it kind of throws that in their face. It's like, well, fuck, you're celebrating people who aren't even fathers. And I am one, but just because my kids aren't here or this, that, the other's happening, somehow I just kind of get overlooked. And I know it sounds like it's being really, you know, Pecan-ish and whatnot, but I mean, I feel the same thing for Mother's Day, you know what I mean? Like, just let people have their one day. It's their one day. What the fuck does it matter to you that you, why is it such a big fucking deal for you to shoehorn in on their day? You know, to me, that just feels very selfish and self-involved. And why is that the thing that you're fighting for? There are so many other things in the world that are happening right now that you could be picking up and being, you know, interjecting yourself into. To interject yourself into Father's Day seems wholly selfish and self-serving. And it could just be me, you know what I mean? And it probably is, but if I'm wrong, you know where the Patreon is? patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Hit me up and let me know what you think about Father's Day. And like I said, we can agree to disagree. And I'm not saying I'm necessarily right. I just feel like, you know, I wouldn't do that to you, so why do that to me? You know what I mean? It feels very self and self-indulgent. And at that point, it's like, do you really care? Are you just doing this for an extra pat on the back? Like, does it matter to you that much? Or are you just doing this just so you can look, you know, like you're on the right side of this particular issue or whatever, or that you're doing something extra and above and beyond? Because really, you are being mad extra, in my personal opinion. You know what I mean? But I digress. I could be just out of my ass on that. I could be completely wrong on that. There's one thing, though, that I am not wrong about, and it's this. Y'all got to step up these Father's Day gifts, man. I've been seeing so much shit for Father's Day that's like the stereotypical, you know, buy your dad a weed eater, you know, get your dad some soap and some cologne and a shaving kit, you know, get your dad some ties and socks. I'm going to go on the record right now, and I'm willing to actually perish upon this hill for sure. Stop giving your father's projects, hair care products, and bullshit fucking items of clothing. You know what you can do for your dad? You either get him an experience, something that's really cool that he's going to enjoy. I don't mean take him to the strip club or anything like that. You know, get him like a trip to like a go-kart racing place, or, You know, get him a cooking course, like with like an outdoor camping cooking course, so he can learn how to make some shit in the wild. Some, you know, some rough and rugged kind of shit. Or get him a spa treatment. You know what I mean? Get him a day at a day spa. Get him a weekend. Fuck, get the hell out of here. Don't worry about any of this stuff. We paid for it. It didn't come out of your pocket. That's a big one. And then you go and do what you got to do for you, you know, and just enjoy being pampered for once. We appreciate you. Or if you can't do all that, which I said, those are high-end ideals, you know what I mean? Like, an experience costs money and it requires some thought and time. You need to know who you're dealing with right there. But there's two things that you can do that are simple. It's really, really simple. Get your dad two cards, one Hallmark and one gift. So dads are going to love money. And that's just true because people like money and money helps us do stuff and live and activate things in our world. Get your dad a nice Hallmark card. It could be funny. It could be heartfelt. It could be just as simple as Happy Father's Day. Don't blow this whole thing in one spot and throw a fucking $20, $30, $50 Visa gift card or MasterCard or something like that in there and let him go nuts with whatever it is he wants to do. Stop buying your dad's extra shit. Most men don't really like to collect a lot of just accoutrement, just random junk, right? They're usually very specific in the things that they collect, you know? I don't really collect much of anything except for art supplies and video games. That's about it. I don't really do statuettes. I don't do model airplanes. I don't do coins. I don't do watches or trains. I don't have like a collection of cups from or shot glasses from various places I've been. You know what I mean? It's literally just video games and art supplies. That's about it. But every now and again, I just get socks. Like I only have 2 feet. I don't need this many socks. The socks I just bought, I don't need as many of them as I do. I'm actually getting ready to donate a bunch of socks just to, you know, shelters and stuff like that, so somebody else can wear them because they're just sitting in my drawer for nothing. And that's space that I could be using for, you know, maybe some other logo t-shirts or something like that. That's the kind of shit I like. But don't buy it for me. Let me get the stuff that I want. Like I said a while ago, I hate when people like, you know, just go out and buy you clothes because they don't necessarily know how a thing fits or feels on your body. So unless they are taking your body out for a ride and trying shit on and then dropping it back off, they don't know. And they shouldn't be buying you random stuff. They also may not necessarily have your tastes pinned down. Like some people think they know what you would like, but then you get it and you're like, oh, that's not really, I would never have bought this for me. So just give them some money, give them a card that says you love them and you appreciate them. Let him go on about his business. I promise you, you can't really go wrong with that one because it lets him know that you were thinking about him. And two, gives him a little bit of agency, like, nah, I can get something I want. Let me get you a weed eater. Why the fuck are you getting me more housework? More shit to take care of, more stuff to put in the garage or whatever. I don't need all that extra stuff. Knock get the fuck off. Give him something he's going to like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm telling you, as much as personal hygiene is important, we're about to get into that in a second. Like, you know, getting somebody, we talked about this a long time ago when I was a kid. We were talking about what we get my dad for my father for Father's Day. And I think one time I said, like, we should get him like a razor or something for Father's Day. My mom was like, would you like it if somebody got you a washcloth and some soap for your birthday? I was like, ooh, you didn't think about that. Giving somebody personal care products like for their birthday, like if it's not like a bundle of something, like it's like, hey, this is part of like a spa treatment kind of thing that you can do for yourself just to relax. But getting somebody something that's so personal like that, like getting them a razor or like you said, getting them like a bath set or something. If it's not coming with like some bubbly, you know, bath bombs or sea salts or like, you know, those Epsom salts and stuff like that, that you can just sit back and relax, Nate, with, throw some candles, some music on and just kind of chill and treat yourself. And you're like, here's some soap. Here's a razor. Wash your ass and shave your face. You look like shit. That's what that message says. You know, it's a wild thing to do. And we do it all the time, especially the dads. You get your mom something for like, you know, something like bath oriented. It usually comes in a cute little basket. It's got a couple little, you know, fluffy things with it. Maybe it's got like a little stuffed animal. It's got like a bag of those, you know, Epsom salts and some maybe bath bombs. Maybe some scented oils for her, luxuriated and whatnot. It's this cute package. They're like, hair, soap, towel, razor. That's what dudes get. It's like, what the fuck is that? Like, we have feelings too, goddammit. Like, that sucks. That's a shitty gift to get to somebody. That'd be like somebody coming up to your house and be like, hey, happy birthday, here's some deodorant. The fuck do you mean? What are you trying? Just say what you're trying to say. You know what I mean? Don't do that. But I will say you do need to be using deodorant. It is summertime right now, at least in the Northern Americas. And oh, my God. Look, okay. I've told y'all many times, I have a very sensitive sense of smell. It's pretty highly tuned, which is weird because I've smoked for forever and ever. Amen. But, dude, I went in to go pick up some stuff from the grocery store yesterday. And I can see people and kind of get a bead on how they smell before I get anywhere near them. And so I saw these two young black teenage girls who got out of their car and went into the store to pick up something, right? And I could see from where I was standing that they had these really thick, like, well-groomed, and it was getting a little dark, but you could see it. Really thick, well-groomed, well, like, manicured, dreadlock-style braids. They were really thick, but they were woven together really nicely. And, like, I guarantee you, those girls told the wife, I'm like, they smell like coconut oil and sea salt. Like, that's a family who does, like, all-natural skincare products. You know, like I said, the mom's like mixing up shea butter in the, you know, in the kitchen so that they can put it into the bathroom as soap and shit like that. And sure enough, when I walked past them, because they're just walking through the aisles, I had managed to walk right past them. I'm like, clocked it. Yep. And a little bit of shea butter too. Not just sea salt, but shea butter. They smelled delightful. And then I saw another couple of people. Oh, there's no nice way to say it. They look like they smelled like Marlboro Light smoke and piss. Like, it was just like, I'm like, you ever seen somebody? You're like, I know exactly what that smells like, and I don't even have to get near it to know. Like, that was what this was, too. But in the opposite, I'm like, that person probably smells delightful. I'm like, these people obviously smell like, you know, trailer park death, so I don't want to get near them. And boy, was, look, excuse me, couldn't help that cough. I was turning the corner to go and pick up these strawberry fruit pops that my wife likes. And as I turn the corner, right as I'm getting ready to turn the corner, I feel this oppressive weight kind of pushing back towards me. Inhaled, and I'm like, oh, like I said, like old, stale Marlboro Light, Marlboro Red smoke, piss, and body odor. And I turned the corner, it was those two, and I was just like, you know what I mean? That's discouraging, man. It's not even upsetting. It's just, as human beings, you'd have thought that we'd advanced enough as a society that you could look at another human being and be like, hey, yo, you need to get that. You know, this is one of those times where you probably could gift somebody some soap. Like, I went to the soap aisle in the grocery store that we both standing in, and I bought you this. Please go use it right now. I'm begging you. I implore you. Please wash your ass. Like Red Fox just said, I don't care who you think you is. You got to wash your ass. They were just, I mean, they smell like, what do you call it? Zachlys. When your breath smells exactly like your ass. Dude was hilarious. But yeah, man, it's the summer. Look, I'm not saying that you have to smell like fresh as a daisy every single second of every day. It's summertime. You're going to be outside most likely. You're going to be going to pools, barbecues, camping trips. You know, maybe you do like a road trip or something like that. Not me, huh? But, yeah, you know, you're going to be out. You're going to be doing active stuff. Hopefully, you're going to sweat. You're going to perspire. You're going to stink. You're going to be doing yard work. Come on, yard work, for real? You're not going to come back in and smell like, you know, cut grass, gasoline, and sweat. That's what's supposed to happen. But what you need to do is you need to take your ass into your shower at least once per day. Minimum once per day during the summer. Personally, I prefer two showers during the summer. One at the very beginning of my day, which is just a stock thing. Get up, get out, you know, rinse the sweat and the sebaceous oils off of your face and get yourself freshened up and ready to attack your day, right? If you're out during the middle of the day and you're sweating, definitely go back in and get a rinse. Rinse out the pits, you know, pits, butts, feet, and nuts. And then, like I said, make sure you rinse your legs really, really well because you probably put lotion or sunscreen or whatever on them. And then that shit just kind of runs down your legs and puddles at your feet. Wash them shits. Wash them shits and rinse them real good. Get that stuff off and then reapply as needed. And then if you've been running around all day long and you're coming back home, I say 2 showers minimum during the summer, because at night I'm going to try to make sure I start doing this more frequently, because I used to do it all the time and the habit kind of fell away. And I need to bring it right back, because it's not like I'd be funky, because I'm basically working from home as podcasting and streaming goes. But I do run errands occasionally and go out of the house. But when I come home at night, this will help you if you have a hard time sleeping. I'm almost positive this will help. Get yourself a nice hot shower, you know what I mean? And just a cool glass of water right before you go to bed. Not a big one, just an 8-ounce glass of water. Just let your body just kind of cycle that through. And like I said, just rinse off the day and let it go down the drain. A little bit of light moisturizer so your skin isn't like all dry and ashy and crackly and peeling against your sheets. And then get some sleep. But you need to take at least 2 showers, one in the morning, one in the evening before you go to bed. Bare minimum. You know what I mean? Because people get funky. Use your deodorant. Use a body spray. You know what I mean? If you can't afford that shit, ask somebody. I will send you deodorant. If I can get a hold of Duke Cannon and I get myself an affiliate code, I'll get you all the affiliate codes. You can get some good quality soaps and deodorants and stuff like that for a little bit of extra money off. Let me know what I have to do to help you not be funky, but please don't be funky. And brush your teeth. Please brush your teeth. Just rinsing your mouth out with water in the morning is not brushing your teeth. Brush your teeth and floss. You got to have fresh breath, man. Your oral hygiene is the thing I got to get taken care of this month. You got to get your oral hygiene taken care of, because everything you eat or drink goes into your mouth. And then that passes through whatever funk is in your mouth into your stomach and the rest of your body. So clean your teeth. Get your teeth cleaned up. Go to a dental college if you can't afford insurance or whatever. If you can't afford the copay to get your teeth cleaned. But do that. It will help your overall health. It'll help your life. I promise you. But please do that for yourself, for me, just so I can know that you've done it. And for the people in your life. You know what I mean? You owe it to them. You're going to be around them. You can't be stank like that. That's just not okay. It's not cool. All right. So I did my little rant there. Anyway, I noticed something the other day. I was out. And I stopped by this place. Oh God, where was it? I went by the grocery store. It was a while back, actually, when I noticed this too. I want to say it was at the dealership where I went to go and get the car taken in for a tune-up. That they had like a coffee stand and a tea stand that was like a courtesy there for customers who were hanging out and waiting. It wasn't like the paid thing. Like one of the places had like a paid counter. You go and do the stuff. But this was like just like chilling. You know, hey, you're here. Have a cup of coffee. Have a cup of tea. Coffee people are messy as fuck. Tea people are on par, on average, generally neater and cleaner. Just in like with their space and whatnot. Like I noticed the coffee people, there'd be sugar splashed all over the place. There's like puddles of coffee on the counter. But like the tea folks were just like, yo, I saw one dude fill his cup up and it overfilled a little bit. And he grabbed some napkins and then sponged it up and wiped the counter down. I don't know how many people I saw with the coffee. There's just like splatters of brown liquid all over the place. Crusty sugar and Splenda and whatever the fuck else people were using. Just, ew. It was repulsive. And the other thing too, I noticed a lot of coffee people don't wash their coffee pots out nearly enough. Now, here at this house, I'm making sure that shit gets washed, because I used to work in coffee shops. I've worked for corporate coffee shops. I've worked for independent coffee shops. And the one thing I've come to know is that when people say you're seasoning a pot, what you're really doing is just drinking burnt coffee. That's not seasoning. That's lazy. And those oils inside there actually affect the flavor of the coffee. So when they're burnt on the inside of the carafe, it's not helping you. It's actually gross. It's like, you know, saying you're seasoning a skillet. But what you do instead is you cook food in it and then just rinse it with water and put it away. That's not seasoning. That's just nasty. And if you don't know how to season a cast iron skillet, maybe I can put that into the Patreon episode for this month, because I do have one coming where I'm going to talk about all the stuff that happened during the Xbox Game Showcase, maybe some of the summer game show. But I will do that. But yeah, maybe I'll throw the thing in there about how to season a cast iron skillet too. But anyway, what I'm saying is, you know, you got to wash that pot out. Tea drinkers, almost always see them washing their kettle out. They wash it out, they dry it out, they scour it somewhere, and they let it sit, and then they fill it up with more water next time. Coffee people, you're like, yo, just put the more coffee in there. Then put more coffee in this thing. Like, dude, you got to clean that thing. It gets junk and stuff in it. Like, you know how you like you get like a water bottle and stuff like that? Every now you get a water bottle, you're like, oh, after you've had it for a while, you haven't paid attention to it. You think it's just water, right? Nope. What happens is every time you put your lips to that bottle, a little bit of your saliva, the skin off of your lips, whatever else you had in your mouth, you never know if you made it backwash into that shit, just congeals inside the fucking caps and lids and pumps and mechanisms and straws that are in those bottles. You have to take them all the way apart, wash every piece, let them dry, and then put them back together again. Matter of fact, I'm going to do mine today because I'm like, I usually wash mine like about once a week, maybe a little bit off, more often depending on how much I'm using it. Usually like once, twice a week is like just the standard. But at least once a week, I take the entire thing apart. The little silicone gaskets, all that stuff, and let them soak in some bleach for a little bit so they can really get them sanitized. And people don't think about how much funk and dirt and yuck and shit is all over everything in your house. I actually said this in my Discord earlier today. I was like, yo, take some time out and get yourself a little bit of rubbing alcohol and maybe like a microfiber cloth and wipe down all your remotes, your controllers, your keyboard on your laptop or your PC or whatever. Wipe down your door handles and take apart your cell phone case and your phone and wipe them shits down too because you use that thing all the time, especially your cell phone. And you don't really think about how often like people pick up other shit, touch other parts of their body and do whatever they do. And then they put their hands on that shit, the common stuff that you be using. And that funk just transfers to you. And think about how often you wash your hands and what you might do in the course of a normal day between time you washed your hands to the time you did something where you knew you needed to wash your hands. And how often you touched your face, maybe scratched your eye, maybe scratched your ass, bit your fingernails, licked something off of your thumb because you were eating a snack. Did you wash your hands before you had your snack? I'm not trying to make you a germaphobe, but I'm like, be smart. Because people think flu and cold season is just in the winter. Nah, that shit's all year round, baby. We got COVID here and it is not going anywhere. You need to watch yourself. So be on that. Make sure you're careful about that kind of stuff. Because I'd be seeing stuff like that be heartbreaking. And I'm like, ugh, that didn't have to happen. It's crazy, man. And maybe it's because I haven't been sleeping and I'm thinking about this kind of stuff. I'm having so many weird-ass dreams. Like, I had this one weird dream the other day where, like, I was trying to get into this apartment. And now, usually when I'm trying to get into an apartment or doing something in an apartment, it kind of reminds me of the walk-up that my mom used to live in Chicago. And it's almost always like that, like a 2-3-story kind of thing where you walk up and then you're on the top floor. At least I am. And yeah, I was trying to go and use the bathroom. I'm like, where's the bathroom? And they're like, it's over here. And I went to go into the bathroom. And like that whole, like, how did I put it? Like, I'm trying to remember how it exactly happened. Like there's like a hole in the floor where I could see down. This happens a lot too, where there's holes in the floor. And they get worse and bigger, or like they get more pronounced over the course of the dream. And this time I went to go and use the toilet, and as I was going to sit down, the toilet just fell out. Just went, phew. There was one small hole at the door, and then when I went to go sit on the toilet just disappeared. I'm like, what the fuck happened? So I walked out, I'm like, no, the toilet just fell out. And then as I left, it was like the house started to reassemble itself. I'm like, I don't know if I like this. And then I went to go use the bathroom again. And then just the bathroom, because the bathroom was like in the corner of the apartment building, just the bathroom and like one of the side posts or like the cornerstone section of the wall just fell out. And I'm like, what in the hell is happening now? So then I get out of that and it kind of like pulls itself back together like Howl's Moving Castle. Like, I gotta go. This is the scary thing about a dream like that. If you have to go to the bathroom, you should just wake the fuck up if you can. Because, you know, the last thing you want to do is boo-boo on yourself in the bed. But I'm like, I have to get to this bathroom. And so I go to the bathroom again. And at this point, like, a lot of apartment complexes, all of them are kind of built in this cookie-cutter style, stacked on top of one another, right? So I go to the bathroom, and then the whole wall just falls off that side of the building. And I'm trying to hold it together. So I'm holding like a towel rack. I don't know what the fuck I thought I was going to do. I'm holding a towel rack and it just pulls me out of the bathroom all the way to the ground. And I can just see a cross section of everybody's apartment. Everybody who's in the shower right now, suddenly butt ass naked out in the world. One dude was shaving his face. Another dude was trying to use the bathroom. You're just like, what? What is with this dream? What is going on here? What is happening? I don't like that dream. I get dreams like that every now and again. I hate it so much. The other one I had was really weird because I always like those like shonen anime and stuff like that. And I recently just watched the show Weak Hero Season. I think it's called Class 2, not Season 2. Watched Class 2. And they had this giant knockdown, drag-out brawl with all the other delinquents at the school. And I always thought that kind of trope in anime and, you know, in manga was pretty interesting, where like two entire schools get together and duke it out. It didn't happen often, but every now and again when I was a kid, that would happen. Like when I was in junior high school, there was like a rivalry between my school and another one. And they would be like, if you go to the football game, there's going to be a rumble in the parking lot. I'm like, I thought that shit just happened in movies. Then I saw it in real life. I was like, oh, shit. That's for real. That's crazy. It happened once or twice when I was in high school, too. I'd go to a football game or something. I took my father's nightstick and stuck it in my trench coat. Because, you know, I was supposed to go. And like, I think I took my brother with me or somebody like that. And one of my siblings went with me. I was like, if something kicks off, I need to be able to defend myself. And I'm going to take myself a weapon. And then it did kick off, and I was like, okay, cool, it's not close to me, so we can leave. And we just managed to sneak away and get out of it. But yeah, like, I had, that stuff would happen occasionally. It wasn't like a, you know, like, as crazy as it was in anime, but, you know, it happened. And I just had this dream just the other night where I was like, I'm still me, I'm still this same age. But for some reason, I was like back at my old high school for like a reunion or something. And then the school was going to have a rumble, but they wanted former students to like join in. So they're like, hey, you know, the graduating class of this year is here. Maybe we get a couple of them to rumble with us. And they're like, yeah. So all these like teenage kids are excited for me to get into a fight with a bunch of other grown ass adults from the other high school and the senior kids from their school. It was just a weird-ass dream, man. I don't do drugs, but I feel like sometimes my brain jumps out of my skull, takes a hit of something, and crawls back in right before I wake up. It's bananas, man. There's a bunch of crazy stuff going on. I mean, my brain is probably processing all the wildness in the world, too. Like, we have all seen Trump and Elon Musk have their very public breakup, which is really messy. It's the kind of stuff that Taylor Swift writes songs about. You know what I mean? Like, if this was the 90s, there'd be like at least one video of Trump with like a leather vest on with no shirt underneath, just singing in the desert to Elon Musk. And Elon Musk strikes me as like more of a singer-songwriter kind of type. So there'd be like a song of him, like a video of him, like with the guitar in like some cabin when it's raining. There'd be a cat walking around randomly for no reason. Like you brought your cat with you to the cabin in the woods. You know, that's kind of the vibe I'd get off of this whole thing. So I've been watching that very public, very stupid breakup happen. Them taking shots back and forth at each other has been hilarious. But it does put a level of stress in your brain. You know? Like the attacks that ICE has been launching in Los Angeles lately. The way that they're just waiting for people outside of courthouses who are doing it the legal way, which was the whole fucking point of everybody bitching and moaning about immigration, right? Well, I don't mind if they come as long as they do it the legal way. It's not just a Southern accent. I'm just doing that just because I live in the South. But, you know, they're like, I don't care where you're from as long as you do it the right way. Well, they're doing it the right way, and then they're still fucking attacking these people and deporting them for no reason. I'm like, do you want me to do it right, or do you want me to sneak in? Pick one, because I can't have it both ways. And it's getting crazy. Like I said, in LA, it's getting a little nuts. Trump ordering the National Guard and now Marines to go and be there. Like, you're going to fuck around and get a lot of innocent people killed. That the real problem is they think that they're doing this thing and, like, you know, we're trying to enforce the law. You're trying to enforce terrorism. You're inflicting domestic terrorism on not just the quote-unquote illegals, but also the people of that city. The one thing these rocket scientists haven't figured out yet is that if it was just those people who were affected, that'd be fine, maybe. You could probably at least spin that. But there are hundreds of thousands of people who live in that area probably, and they're also being affected. Their neighborhoods are also being flooded with police and protesters and now National Guardsmen and Marines. And the Guard and the Marines aren't necessarily trained in how to handle those kinds of situations. They're trained for some very specific and very different types of situations, but not necessarily quelling an urban distress kind of scenario. Urban warfare? Sure. But trying to deal with the population that feels like they're being marginalized, oppressed, and trodden upon? Kind of different. The problem is one ends up becoming the other, but you know that's you're escalating at this point. You know what I mean? That's like I have to say, I'm going to beat you up or whatever. You're like, cool, I'm going to get my shotgun. I'm like, that's not even what we were talking about. You're on some different shit. Like, I'm going to get my shotgun. Okay, well, in that case, I have a grenade. Now we just keep escalating and escalating until everything spirals out of control. And while you might have a grudge against the protesters, you might have a grudge against ICE and the police, might have a grudge against the National Guards people and the Marines, which I personally do, the escalation is the real problem, and innocent people will get caught in the crossfire, as already has happened. And what we're going to end up seeing is, at a certain point, people are going to have to make choices. The people who are being directly affected and who feel like they're being stepped on, they're going to have to choose. Do I just take it lying down? Do I take it to the streets and risk getting arrested, possibly tear gassed or tased or whatever? Or do I go out swinging and take a couple of these assholes with me? Eventually, it's not, like I said, this is not something I want people to be very clear when you hear me on this. This is not something that I'm wishing for. This is something that we've seen happen in history. We're watching it happen again, and we haven't learned the lessons of history, so we're going to see it unfold. It's almost like prophecy, not like hope, but it's like, if this keeps going this way, it's more like a working theory. If this continues to go this way, this usually ends up being the next step, and this usually ends up being the next step, and this ends up being the end result. We're going to be looking at, fuck civil unrest. You might actually be looking at a small civil war in that city if they don't knock this shit the fuck off. Between ICE showing up in plain clothes and just yanking people up out of nowhere for no reason, now we have the police, the National Guard, the Marines mobilized in LA and in other cities around the country too. You're gonna fuck around and there's gonna be a place where you try this where all the people are armed, or at least enough of them are, that if you watch the protests in LA, it's a scary time to be a cop. Because while they were standing there, there were thousands of people waiting on them. And they were doing it all kinds of wrong. Now, I'm not saying that this is a thing that could have happened, but if you saw the protest where all the police officers were standing in their black uniforms in the California sun underneath a bridge to keep themselves shaded, they boxed themselves into a perfectly designed tactical nightmare for them. And all it would have taken would have been a couple of bad actors to do a couple of crazy things, and that whole place would have been a tinderbox and they'd have been stuck with nowhere to go. Then again, they're not trained for that kind of thing. They're supposed to be there to de-escalate the situation. But instead, they were called out for no real good reason. You know what I mean? These people are just marching and talking. They're not throwing rocks at anybody else until they got mad at the police and they start throwing rocks at them. There was a video of the BBC where a lady was doing a report. And as she's mid-report talking about like the tear gas canisters and, you know, rubber bullets and the pepper spray bullets, there's like, it's basically like a little shot round, like a paintball round. If you're in the film industry at all, you know they call them dust hits. It's like a paintball round that is packed with like a little bit of nitroglycerin powder and some other like smoking effects that when it hits, it causes either a puff of smoke or a little bit of smoke and sparks. But these are filled with like, you know, capsaicin and, you know, cayenne pepper and some other active ingredients that work like tear gas. While the lady's reporting, as she's standing there, she gets shot in the back of the leg by one of the police officers who's just standing there. The funny thing about it is they zoomed in on the video where they see this cop who's standing with his weapon down, just at attention, but with his weapon down, notices the camera crew, turns, raises his weapon, takes aim, and fires at this woman who's part of the press corps. I don't know about you, but if I'm London, I'm like, this looks like an assault against a foreign national who's there reporting the news, and a deliberate attack at that. You're lucky you're not fucking around with somebody who's a little bit more petty or got a lot more army. You're like, yo, what the fuck was y'all on? Now you've caused an international incident because one dumbass decided to be, you know, take it upon himself to be Captain America and shit. And shot a, not even just a journalist, but a female journalist at that, shot her in the back? That's a punk-ass move. That's a real punk-ass move. If I can find the video, I'll drop it into the dump so you can see it. But again, like I said, this is my brain trying to process all this shit. And it's like, I don't know how to make sense of it. Maybe that's why I'm having these crazy-ass dreams. Christy Noem not knowing what habeas corpus meant during the Senate committee. It was a congressional committee. They're asking, do you know what habeas corpus is? She basically said it was the right of the president to do whatever he wanted without, like, you know, having people go through a legal process. They're like, well, that's the opposite of what it is. Literally the exact opposite of what this is. But this dumb fuck doesn't know what the fuck she's doing. Obviously, Pete Hegseth doesn't know shit either. We've noticed that these guys are like a bunch of like just mental mice just scurrying around looking for a piece of cheese, and they just don't know what they're doing. They're woefully underqualified. Not even underqualified. It's staggeringly unqualified. Like, how you couldn't be, you could probably hire a 12th grader who just did a regular, you know, civics course to do a better job than Christy Noem and the rest of Trump's cabinet. Tulsi Gabbard, that woman needs to be put out to pasture immediately. It's just crazy to look at. I mean, I'll do a couple examples that are real close to home. The Jacksonville City Council, actually, this is something that's closer to home, voted to block undocumented people from being able to use city services with the exclusion of access to domestic violence help and emergency services. And I get that some people are like, you know, not my taxpaying dollars for somebody who's illegal. They want to get their stuff, they can get it the right way. Well, guess what? When they try to do it the right way, you persecute them. You show up at, you know, show up in front of courthouses waiting for them to go in for their paperwork or go in for a hearing. Then on the way out, you arrest them. Or on the way in, you arrest them before they even get a chance to do it the right way. Some of these people have been at the process for years. And you're going to just, what? Persecute them just because they're a different shade than you? Because I can't see any other reason. If they're actively doing what you asked them to do, why are you coming here hunting them down? Do you want to explain that, or are you just comfortable with just pulling triggers? Because it seems like that's what it is. It's just, you see the boo-boo to fool stupid shit happening all the time. And it, like I said, it's hard to rationalize it, hard to work your way around it in your mind. Again, St. John's County, nearby here, their school superintendent is getting added to their new board right now. This dude's going to make $80,000 a year more than the last superintendent for St. John's County. Why? They're like, well, there's an increase of 17,000 students in that area. Is he teaching classes? I mean, is he mopping floors? Is he helping make lunch? What the fuck he need extra $80,000? He's going to make $225,000 a year as a superintendent of schools. It's an $80,000 pay raise. He's going to make $225,000. You can do the math at home, sports fans. But he ain't teaching no classes. Why don't you pay an extra $80,000, split it up amongst some of them teachers who are working to fucking buy supplies for their own classrooms? You know what I mean? Who are they going to be the ones, if there's a school shooting, that have to stand in the way of the shooter and your kids? You're not going to help them? Not going to give them no money? But this dude could sit in the office all day and basically do next to nothing. You know what I mean? Have some policy debates and maybe shut down a couple things. Probably end up being, because it's Florida, you know what I mean? Probably end up like blocking a couple of LGBTQ groups and, you know, banning some books that everybody's been reading since the time immemorial just because it doesn't fit with our values. Which ones are those, sir, may I ask? Now I'm being petty right now because I don't really know this dude's politics, but I know you don't deserve an $80,000 pay raise for not doing shit. Off rip. Fuck that. But that's okay, because Floridians forget how to do shit anyway. Like, I don't, they've memory of fucking, not even goldfish, like earthworms have better memories. I swear to God, when it rains around here, everybody in Florida forgets all of a sudden how to fucking drive, how to walk, how to breathe, goddamn. I don't know how many people I've seen, as soon as they see the clouds coming, and they are, like, just taking their sweet fucking time. It's a 55-mile-an-hour road doing 40 miles an hour. Like, they just got nothing but time and hope. And then as soon as a sprinkle of rain hits their car, they turn into a fucking speed racer and then take off on some asshole shit. Here's the thing. Right as the rain starts, it's the most dangerous time on the road to be trying to go super fast. Do you guys know why, sports fans? Don't worry, I'll tell you. That's because usually when that rain comes down, and especially during the summertime when it's hot, it's hitting that asphalt. All the grease, oil, gasoline, other excess rubber, dirt, silt, whatever is on the road, is instantly turned into like a slurry that sits on the very surface of the asphalt. The hot rain that's coming down raises it up, kind of like, you know, oil and water. Like if you put oil and water, the oil rises to the surface, so the water hits, goes underneath all that slippery shit, and raises it directly up to the surface. So if you're speeding along, you're more likely to get into an accident right as the rain starts than you are if you waited like half an hour or 20 minutes. Because by then, the rain has had time to dissipate some of that slush off of the road, rinse it off, and other vehicles have already come through. What do these rocket surgeons do? Hey, as soon as it starts raining, oh, I gotta go faster! And then accidents. Almost always you'll see accidents within the first like 5-10 minutes of a rainfall starting. It's unbelievable how stupid they can be around here. And it's not just Florida. I've seen it all over the place, but this is where I've seen it the worst. But I think, as I said, part of it is because either the Floridians who've been here long enough just kind of feel like it's just whatever now. They don't give a shit. Or it's the worst 1% of all the retirees from around the country that come here. Then they encourage the rest of their dumbass families to come here. And then those people set up shop. So now you got whatever's in the water here in Florida fucking people up. And then whatever people bring from all around the country, all around the world to Florida fucks it up even worse. That's just my opinions, though. It's crazy. I think, and you know what's crazy, too? As I've seen it, it's not, this actually made me sad. Just like the lack of hope that some people have. So there's a ad here in the state that plays for tobacco-free Florida. It's like a, you know, quit smoking kind of campaign thing. And this lady talks about how she smoked for a long time and then she got blood clots in her legs. And she's having a hard time walking and moving around and shit. And she's like, she went to her husband and was like, I'm just offering this to you right now. We can just, you know, we can split. You can get a divorce because you shouldn't have to put up with the fact that I made poor choices in life. And now I can't move around. I can't walk and all this stuff. She's like, I didn't take care of myself. And you're still fine, but you should be able to have a life with somebody who can be fine. That's basically what she was saying. I was like, yo, that's crazy. I was like, yo, I'm sure he's not thrilled about this shit, but I mean, he's gonna be like, yo, you right, peace, bitch. Like, what? No. It was just a wild turn. I see that commercial every now and again. It fucking makes me sad for him and for her. Like, I know it's sad for her because she's worried about, you know, obviously she's worried about her health. She's worried about, you know, what if happens if I lose a foot or what happens if I catch like an embolism because like a blood clot breaks loose or something. And then what's he going to be like? You know, is he going to be sitting here invested in me for all these years to watch my health slowly decline? And then I kick the bucket on him one day. Now I've broken his heart. And he's crushed. Maybe he's too old to bother to go back out into the dating pool or whatever. And he just ends up dying alone. Like, what the fuck does that look like for him? That's scary and sad. But I think it's like again, we're talking about like the short-sightedness of people and like not thinking things through. Like I said, they don't think about what they're doing on the road. So I guess she was like, fuck it, I'll just do whatever I want. I don't know. I'm going to say it is kind of cool that she was just like, you know what? At the very least, she offered it. He didn't take it, obviously, because they're still together in the video. He's like, it's my wife. I love her. I'm not trying to bounce. But then she started taking better care of herself, too. I think that's also, it's fucked up that, like I said, when it comes to, like, stuff like that. And, like, you know, like we're seeing with L.A., like we're seeing across the country when it comes to, you know, the loss of services in certain locations, the loss of Medicare and Medicaid funding, you know what I mean, SNAP programs being shut down, after school programs being shut down, school lunches and everything taking hits, people's social security benefits taking the L, medical, like I said, medical, Medicaid and all that stuff. But I mean, like, just like SNAP assistance for, you know, for dependent families and stuff like that, like people who are in need. We started looking at the reactionary way that we approach stuff as opposed to being, I don't know, kind and proactive about stuff. We only wait till things are fucked up before we start doing anything. And that applies across the board, whether it's civil policy, whether it's, you know, civil or social policy, you know, whether it's like a relationship, like this lady, you know, maybe it's your health and her relationship, you know, kind of thing. And it could be as simple as like me, I waited to do my laundry too late. You know what I mean? Like I waited and waited until too long. And I'm like, oh shit, all my shorts are in the wash. I need to wash them shits right now. You know what I mean? So I'm not immune to it. I'm not above it. I'm not better than any of y'all. I'm just saying, like, I've noticed it. And we should probably work on doing that together, keeping each other accountable and stuff. Hey, man, you know, you got to do X, Y, or Z thing. Get on that. It's hard to do that with other people because, you know, you say it to somebody else, they feel like you attacking them and shit. You're like, no, I just want you to be better and at the very least to be okay, you know? But people take that shit so personally. I've talked about this before. Like, every time you give somebody any kind of criticism, they automatically go to an attack. Like, what are you saying? Like, it's because I'm trying to help you. Like, I can say it in a way to make it real clear that it's an attack, but I'm not doing that. I'm trying to help you. People get fucking finicky about that shit. You're real salty about it. I'm like, no, man. Like, if I didn't care, I wouldn't say shit at all. Naturally, that's not true. Because I would probably not say something because I do care because I don't want to hurt your feelings. But if I really didn't care, I'd be real shitty about it. I'd be real shitty about it. I'm just different, though. I'd be hella petty about it. But yeah, you got to start doing better. I mean, it's 2025. And everybody's like, new year, new me. Like, I don't think it's really that. I think it's just like, we've come too long just as a human society for us not to be better than we are at this point in society. You feel what I'm saying? Maybe, I guess that could just be me. Probably just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm rambling. I'm trying to find a little bit of hope out there in the world. You know what was cool? We talked about politics and social shit. I saw this the other day because my wife sent it to me. This is actually pretty dope. So as a young man named Keyshawn Scott, Democrat out of the state of South Carolina, he's 24 years old. He's a Bishopville City Council member. But he's now the newest state legislator at the State House in South Carolina, which is pretty amazing. Received 71% of 3,700 votes cast in a special election for a State House seat. That's crazy. This is how cool this dude is. The victory is not mine alone, but it belongs to all of the people that got out and exercised their right to vote. That's a quote from this young man. 24 years old. 24 years old. That's just an incredible, incredible accomplishment. And what a good thing, you know what I mean? To see him, like, actually, you know, go up somewhere. The funky thing about it is I got the second part of the story from South Carolina's Daily Gazette, where here's a young man who did something awesome, right? And instead of just giving him his flowers or whatever, they're like, yeah, well, there was other people who did it when they were younger, and they were Republicans. Oh, they did it too. It's like, there are other people who don't. Oh, the fuck that got to do with anything? Really? It's like, all right, man, whatever. You can't just let some people have shit, I guess, is what it is. But it's just crazy, though. And he's a young man. He's a preacher, too. He's trying his best to do something good. And I want to say to... I guess now, State Representative Keyshawn Scott, congratulations, young man. I hope you have a wonderful and successful and fruitful career in politics, and hopefully you don't stay in there before you become the problem. Stay in there long enough to become the problem. Get out when you're still fresh, still love life. You don't want to be a Mitch McConnell. You want to get out before, you know, you end up having a stroke on the state Senate floor or some shit. So... But yeah, that was good. That's good news. I was just poking fun at, you know, Mitch McConnell because he Mitch McConnell. That's why, really, if we're being honest. There was one story I wanted to get to real quick before we go to the good stuff and the game stuff. And that is a story out of Ammon, Idaho, where a Chick-fil-A employee was being horribly, horribly racially abused. They were basically like throwing a bunch of slurs and comments at him of a highly inflammatory racial nature, including one of the sons of the parents who somehow had like, basically their whole family worked at this fucking Chick-fil-A, and they were all a bunch of evil racist pricks. One of the sons was like whipping another coworker with a towel in the back room when the man showed up, this black man showed up, and the two kids, one of them's Hispanic, this family called the Ibarras, and the other white dude that was there was the one getting whipped, and he's like, "Yes, massa, I'm gonna work harder, massa." And then when the black dude walks in, the Hispanic kid, I think they're Hispanic, I'm pretty sure. They didn't say exactly what their nationality was. I think they were trying to hide that shit. Was like, "Oh yeah, he should be used to this. I mean, he's black after all. Like, he should be used to this slave talk." They called him antiquated farm equipment, which is like, you know exactly what the fuck you're trying to say. They've actually called him a nigger directly to his face, which for me, as a dude right there, like, he's got way more patience. So he was like, "I'm gonna get this Chick-fil-A money, I'm gonna get them ass hairs on my way out." I'd have thrown some grease on him. I would have been in prison for that shit. Because I'm like, I know the fuck you think you are. Props to him for being a better human being than I was. I'd been hot over that shit, and somebody else would have been hot right behind it. It's like, what are y'all motherfuckers going in the fry basket? But yeah, they were horrible to this man. The parents wouldn't reprimand the children. One of the children, the daughter actually, which was wild for me. The daughter was a supervisor. She was actually over her parents and her brothers. And then the managers of the store wouldn't do anything because they said that they weren't in a position to fire the Ibarra parents, the mother and father, which leads me to believe that they own the franchise. They hired these two other knuckleheads to manage it, and then they staffed it with their little racist-ass kids so that the kids could run some stuff, and then they could get away with, like, "Well, I mean, the boss says..." Oh, really? Really? Anyway, this dude taking the Chick-fil-A to court. And Chick-fil-A in corporate fashion, when they had just gotten, in my mind, they had just gotten from underneath the stigma of, you know, supporting African charities that were promoting genital mutilation and the murder of LGBTQ people in those communities. Chick-fil-A had just managed to distance themselves from that. And then they walk right into this one. And when they were asked and questioned about these particular incidents, they were just basically like, "We don't have any jurisdiction over the franchisees, that they basically own the rights to use our licensing brands and stuff like that. And then they can make their own rules as it happens." What? What? I want a Chick-fil-A franchise right now. I want a Chick-fil-A franchise. I'll turn that shit upside down. It'll be the most inappropriate shit you ever seen in your life. "Oh, it's Chick-fil-A, all right. Everybody wear bikinis in here. Even the men. It's bikinis all day, every day. You know what I mean? Sun's out, buns out, baby. Let's go. Shaky, shaky." Chick-fil-A gonna get the worst name after me. I'm like, "What? You're not allowed to do that." The fuck, I'm not. You said, and I'm quoting here, "Each individual franchise owner has the right to do whatever they like and enforce the rules in such a way they see fit." All right, so I'm gonna say this is the new uniform. Bikinis for everybody. I'm wearing one right now. Just being wild as hell for no reason. But yeah, this man is suing the shit out of him. I hope he gets every nickel he can. I hope it's actually, whatever his last name is. It's like, I forget his last name. I could look it up, but I'm not going to fuck with it right now. Maybe let's just say it's like Thomas's. Like Thomas's Fried Chicken. I want Chick-fil-A to have to sell out to this dude. They had to give their whole brand over to this dude. He's like, "All right, cool. First things first, all this shit is gone." I can't wait. Like I said, I hope he gets his money, and I hope all those people get everything that's coming to him, because now it looks like they're filing some federal discrimination cases against the Ibarra family and the two managers that were working at that store. And if that thing goes to fruition, at least Idaho's done something kind of right. Those motherfuckers are going to hopefully eat some jail time. They probably will end up getting fined, because that's usually what happens when rich people or people with money and access or and even adjacency to power get sued for some shit. They end up, you end up having to get not really just us, justice. I mean, but you just get a little bit of what they give just to us. And they give them like a slap on the wrist, and then they'll be like, here's a fine, and don't do that again. You're very, very naughty. But I hope he lands on with both feet and gets all day money. All right, let's close it off with some gaming shit. Why shan't we? Fun. The Nintendo Switch 2 is out, and some people are out of Nintendo Switch 2s. This is a story that I found from a Discord. it was somewhere in upstate New York, I think it was, where this particular GameStop was packing up Nintendo Switch 2s for their customers who were coming in to get them. So here's what these rocket scientists did. Instead of using tape, maybe even rubber bands, I don't know, something, maybe taking an envelope or something and sticking like the receipts for these things into like a crack of the box to hand to the potential customers who come to pick them up, they staple the receipts to the front of the fucking box. First of all, anything that risks damaging the product, especially something like that, is a huge no-no. That's not even a GameStop corporate thing. That's just a common sense thing. If there's a chance that you could damage this product by doing whatever you're about to do to it, don't do it. Because then ultimately the company ends up being liable for it. And they got to eat that because they have to give the customer a new product. So a bunch of people got there and they were like, what in the fuck? The receipt's stapled to the box, only to get home and open their box to find out, oh, Nintendo and their infinite wisdom. It seems like they can't go like 3 console generations without having one monumental dose of fuck-ups. They packaged this thing with the screen almost directly pressed up against the outside packaging of the box. Why? Why? If somebody kicked one on accident, if somebody dropped one, if, I don't know, let's say they stacked them up a little too high and they got a little heavy, the screens are going to crack. Now you have these rocket surgeons again stapling a receipt directly to the box and it goes straight through and pokes holes in their brand new screen. Oh, somebody would have got whooped. They did it to dozens of these consoles. And now these people are ass out. They paid all this money. They don't have a console. They got to wait until new shipments can come in. And given the supply chain issues and also the tariffs and stuff like that, who knows how long that'll be. But GameStop going to have to order them and make them whole again. Because they fucked up. And one of my friends was like, yeah, they were saying that, and this is also just her reporting for the people who's just like, this is not me defending it. This is just what they said. They said that the AC had been out and it was really humid in there. And so trying to tape the receipts to it wouldn't stick. I'm like, they got rubber bands. You know what I mean? They got to have rubber bands. You know what I mean? They could have envelopes. They could have found some other alternative to stapling the fucking receipt directly to them. You could have just stacked them with the receipts on them. The AC wasn't working no way. So it wasn't like there was anything blowing them around. You could have stacked them all with, like, you know, get you some pebbles or something like that and just set them on there. Like some little small pebbles just to weigh the receipt down. Something. They chose the laziest and stupidest option out of all of them and fucked up all these consoles for no reason. For no reason. But that's what you get with GameStop. That's why GameStop is going out of business. I guarantee you they're going to be out of business before the end of 2025 behind this shit. I don't go to GameStop no more at all. I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered with Love, Death, and Robots, though. I talk about like media stuff every now and again. Love, Death, and Robots is a franchise of animated shorts that have no necessarily particular theme that unifies them all together. But they're very interesting, sometimes sci-fi, sometimes gaming-related. Sometimes it's, you know, just about cats, which I love those. Those are great. But I watched the most recent season because it's been a while since I had a chance to sit and watch it. And I finally got to watch it. And I'm telling you right now, the shows themselves usually are pretty very adult oriented. They can be gory. They can be violent. They can be a lot of cursing and stuff like that. They can have some slightly to highly suggestive sexual material. And that's all 6 to 1, half dozen the other. But there's one episode that I watched in particular called How Zeke Found Religion that I will not spoil for you, but I would highly encourage you to go and watch. Granted, it is a violent episode. There's some adult language, gore, cursing, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. Yeah, just thematic content, essentially. There's also some occult references in there. You have to kind of navigate through it because it's kind of telling a story. But it is a good story, and I found it to be one of the most enjoyable episodes of Love, Death, and Robots I've ever watched, without question. And so much so that at the end of it, I actually realized I was crying. I was like, that was just somehow very impactful and beautiful. And all the violence and gore and everything like that, there was something that was just very touching about it. And it resonated with me. I was like, that is really good. That is good storytelling. So if you get a chance, check that out. And before I wrap it up, I'm just going to say, like, there's a bunch of new stuff that's coming down the pipe. I'm excited for something that I probably shouldn't be excited for, which is Final Fantasy Tactics. Ivalice Chronicles is finally coming to the Xbox. It's about 15 years too late. And they haven't done any real upgrades to it. The thing that they didn't do, and they probably should have done, would have been to port over the Final Fantasy Tactics War of the Lions from the mobile, you know, platforms over to Xbox. That would have been a real easy get because it was already some quality of life updates. And it wasn't a lot of like high polish or anything like that to the graphics, but it seemed like they had done a little bit of color correcting and whatnot. And that it looked really great on mobile. But I would have loved to have had that on the Xbox. Instead, what they did was like a lot of polygonal smoothing, which makes everything look like it was like drawn with like colored pencil and then somebody just rubbed their elbow across it. If you get a chance to look at it, it's not horrible. It just doesn't look spectacular. And you could have just left the original sprites alone at this point. Like, it doesn't seem like you were doing a whole lot of extra stuff to make it, you know, fantastic. You just waste a lot of people's time. I was excited for it until I looked at it. And I'm like, ah, man, y'all could have tried something. But, I mean, I guess the push come to shove, at least it's going to be back on the console. I can add it to my Final Fantasy collection. I got to do a Final Fantasy run on stream at some point. Hopefully I can get enough people to come and tune in. Because I'm also doing a community challenge on my stream where if I can hit a certain target of channel points that are donated towards the challenge, I'm going to pick out a PvP build, so player versus player build, and have the community help me build my first ever armor set. Because everybody keeps giving me grief about why I don't have this, why I don't use that, and you should make it like this. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll tell you what. If we hit this community challenge, you can put your money where your mouth is and see if you can craft a build that's worth a damn. And then I'll see if I'll use them. Because usually right now, I just swap back and forth between the things that work. But we're going to try this and we're going to see how it works. You got until the end of June to go over to twitch.tv/linkib, watch and earn channel points just for having it on in the background. You don't even have to watch. Just turn it on, let it run in the background while you're doing laundry, making dinner. You know what I mean? Go and run some errands and come back and see if it's still on. But you earn channel points like that, and then you can donate them directly to the goal. They'll be posted up on the screen. And then also a big shout out again to the folks over at Aimbot Energy. Aimbot.energy is where you want to go. Let them know that I sent you. I'm working on something with them right now. I hope will come into fruition very, very soon. And you will know about it more by next podcast. So keep your eyes peeled for that, your eyes and ears peeled. Again, thank you all for listening. Thank you for sharing the podcast. Thank you for checking out the Patreon. Send me your questions, comments, all that stuff. I want to hear more. I keep wanting to do stuff, but I need more people to write in. And I'll see if I can get this supplemental episode up before the weekend is out and talk a little bit more about the stuff that I saw during the Xbox Game Showcase and some other cool stuff that I think is coming down the pipe that you guys might be interested in listening to. All right, that's enough. This has been a long episode. I appreciate you guys. Happy Father's Day out there. Don't get your dad no ties and no soap or no none of shit. Get him a gift card from, get him a card from Hallmark and call it a day. Or, you know, yeah. And take him out to go and shoot a 50 caliber off the back of a tank. I'm sure he'd love that shit. That'd be pretty cool. Do something fun for him. Don't just give him stuff to do or shit to wear or something to wash his ass with. You wash your ass. Okay, you wash your ass first. Use deodorant, soap, toothpaste, and toothpaste, toothbrush, mouthwash, floss teeth, drink some water. Shit, I don't know. I'm rambling at this point. Let me get out of here. All right, guys, I will catch up with you later. I've been Link Flores. You've been awesome. This has been an episode of the Wandering One podcast, and I'll catch you wanderers a little farther down the road. Peace, and see you next week.